Jeremiah and chapter 15. And in our study of Jeremiah and the very nearing and historic Nebuchadnezzar coming in and destroying the city and the temple in and out until the time 586, etc. Now, so here's Jeremiah dealing with the people. The people are not responding to the threat, to the danger of that lies at their doorstep, as it were. They weren't doing that. And Jeremiah has to go through the education of how God works, why God works, when God works, and why he doesn't work sometime, seemingly. So you have to learn that. It isn't something that is cheap. You have to be educated. If you're going to know God, people can say the name God, you can pray to God, but you don't know. You don't know. And all of that's good, it's just that you don't know. Do you know the person? And you need to know the person in order to understand what the person does, why the person doesn't do or does do, and you move with them. So Jeremiah, like Job and David and Moses and all of them, you have to be educated. And believers have the opportunity to be educated. And here's Jeremiah at this point in his life, and we just got through, as we were sharing in Jeremiah 15, the inevitableness, the unavoidableness of judgment. There's no way out of it. It's just going to happen. And that's all there is to it. And Jeremiah has to keep adjusting to the terribleness of the judgment that will come and was coming. And he has to grow up like we all do. We're little and then we grow. And at 2 years old, you don't care too much about anything. About what, 10 years old, you care a little more. You're conscious of things. At 20, you're more conscious. And then you get, as you grow, you're conscious of a world that you live in. And the older you get, the more conscious you should consciousness you should have of the world. So here's Jeremiah, and like us in just general living, we grow. And fortunately, we don't have to deal with things at 2 years old that we do when we're 20. So now, here we are looking to God, and Jeremiah is here looking, and he's growing. You have to grow. You want to go with God, you got to grow with God. And so Jeremiah growing, as it were, and Jeremiah is looking to stay with God. He has a heart for God. He's learning to have a heart for God, to have heart to heart with God, like David, etc. And Joshua and Caleb had a wonderful experience, not like Jeremiah's. No, they had a different kind of experience with God. And in those 40 years actually, in the wilderness, what did Caleb and Joshua learn? They learned, you know, all those chapter 14 of Numbers and that, that Caleb and Joshua followed fully, F-U-L-L-Y, fully. They fully followed God with all their heart. And they're the only two that didn't die in the wilderness. They're the only two. The rest of everyone over 20 died. All 603 plus thousand of them died. But those two didn't die because they followed God. Jeremiah, you're doing what everyone else has to do. God is going to take you on a journey to grow and to know and to follow God. So here, Jeremiah is going to have continued all the way, keep going, Jeremiah chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 17, 18, Jeremiah is getting a more and more involved, more and more exposed to the environment, to the world he's in. And that's what you and I do. As we grow, we become more aware of all kinds of things. When you're young, you just have a little world like this. And when you get older and older, your big world gets big, because you got to, and especially in this electronic technology economy system where everything is thrown at us more and more, faster and faster, we can't even keep up with it. So here's Jeremiah growing, and he's involved, he's exposed. So, and when you get exposed, God, if you're going to learn, God teaches, if we're willing to learn and go through everything, the trial, the test, the trouble, then we learn. And when we do that, things get, and we learn, if we're learning and we're growing, it gets easier and easier and easier. So we know as we go along in school, literally school, we have to study things. And if we're there and have a little bit going for us, and assuming everything else is equal, then the next subject could be very difficult. But you know, we're already in gear to have to go and work at it and learn it. We weren't when we were in the first grade, but we are now. So we're ready to grow and to learn. You have to develop. Most believers, unfortunately, never develop. And all you got to do is look for the fruit of that. There's no proof of that at all. So now, here's Jeremiah growing and knowing, and we're learning and we're understanding as we go and read and study, and God gives us this for our learning, so that we understand we need to grow, and we need to go through things. So Jeremiah is going through a very, very difficult time. It becomes quicker. It's easier and quicker to believe, to honor God. You don't fight God. You don't debate God. You don't dialogue with God. You're very quick to follow and take heed. You're just sensitive to the feather. Remember we said it in Psalm 32. The feather in the water. It isn't a stone. It's a feather. And when the water moves, the feather is so light, it goes exactly without any fighting, no feuding, no fussing. It goes with the flow, not resisting, moving freely. That's what we need. We have to get there, so we do that. So we don't fight God. We just flow with it. And life becomes rather easy. In the most difficult things, it becomes easier. Wow. Now, because you're flowing with God. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter 15, and Jeremiah is seeking God's help. He's submitting his heart to God in the light of the judgment. He's all alone. He's all alone. And it has to be that way. And I share that just so you and I are reminded. You if you're going to grow and go with God, you're going to have to go alone. You understand that? Husband, wife, mother, sister, brother, you're going to go alone. You want to grow, you go alone. That doesn't mean other people aren't growing in that. You have to understand that growth process is internal. And no one else. Their growth is their growth. Your growth is your growth. And you have to do the growing. So it's alone. And people, I don't want to be alone. You're never going to grow. Not going to happen. Now, so that little bit, keeping that in mind. And Jeremiah, in chapter 15, we shared together in verse chapter 15, and remember he has the judgment that we just went through, 13, 14. Now, in chapter 15, we shared together last time, O Lord, he's going to talk to God again after hearing all of this that's going to happen. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, etc. Now, and we did last time, because it gobbled it up, O Lord, thou knowest, God knows. And the word know, remember, is to perceive with the senses, the eye sees, to perceive with your senses. In other words, to have understanding. And the wonderful, wonderful little word that is so great in this word, knowing, is to experience something. To have an experience, a knowing that you experience, an understanding that becomes part of your life. Wow! Not just intellectually, I know A, B, C. No, it's part of you, the knowing. Excuse me. It's like these things, John 5:13. These things are written unto you that you might what? Know. That's the word. To know. You experience. You're knowing. That's right. Now keep that in mind, if you would. And so thus, his, O Lord, thou knowest, God, here I am. And we share together, among other things, Job 23:10. You don't have to turn there. Remember all these little exercises, so we understand that Jeremiah understood that God knew, and God knows what he knows, and we know that God knows what he knows, and that's a great help to us, because we don't know. And thus, Jeremiah 23:10, thou knowest the way that I have, God knows the way that I go, and when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. Now Job knew that, and Job was going through a very, very traumatic, rare exercise that the average person never goes through like he did. And God used it. The man was able to tackle the exercise, went through the exercise, and profited. I will come forth as gold, because I know. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and in light of our recent hours going by, and our future, God's knowing. God is knowing where we're headed. God knows and where we're headed, and God already is ahead of us in the movement, and in the process. As we go, God, we're going to go down the corridor of time, and as we go further and further down the corridor of time, I'll have to go back a second to do this a little better. If going back 24 hours or so, if we went down the corridor of time and it goes one way, then our historic constitution and declaration is gone, essentially gone. For all practical purposes, you won't need it anymore. The court won't need it, and the senators won't need it, and it will just be something you hang on the wall of a historical document. I hope you all understood that a little bit, because that's really where it was. It already is there. The thing is to switch it. Now, so here we are. Now, God, that's where we were headed. Now, God, here comes the election, et cetera, et cetera. And if we don't have a change, then we're going to go further and further, unrecoverable. We cannot recover from it, ever. Because it's gone. We'd have to redo it all over again. So, God, are we going to have a little grace, which we prayed for, and you have prayed, country, a little grace, a little mercy to hang in there, and thus God has granted that a little grace, so that in the process, and by the way, you know, I'm just reminding myself and you, there's all the other nations in history, apart from Israel, which is different. All the other nations in history could never have done what we did just yesterday. Because they can't change. They don't have a declaration. They don't have a constitution. They are not built. There's not one nation built like that in all of history. There's no nation like it. To have those documents, to be able to be the foundation, we're the only nation in all that I know of, my little bit, we're the only nation that could ever seek to recover. Do you understand that? No one, nowhere in the world, Britain did whatever they did. Nowhere in the world could you do what we just did. Now, so we want to learn from it. And thus, in the process, God, in your mercy and grace, you have allowed us the opportunity as a country to fix some things. And in particular, A, the Supreme Court, which is absolutely found right in the center, and the business world, medical world, hospitalization, everything is possible to have a measure of fixing it in some form or fashion. May not recover, but at least it's somewhat, we're going to try to fix it. That's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, and so all of those things are so good. And the First and Second Amendment should be fairly safe for the moment. They were in jeopardy, but we were spared to hold them for a moment, First and Second Amendment, let alone the Third and Fourth. Now, in the light of that, so here's the slide going down, downhill, downhill, downhill. Now we need to have a history lesson in part to help us. Go with me, please, over, if you would, in your Bible, over to Second Kings, and in chapter 2 Kings and 21. Now, history lesson. Our lesson. It's now. So we're going to learn from it. Here's Jeremiah, so we stay in Jeremiah. Here's Jeremiah trying to help these people. These people are locked in the wrong direction. They aren't fixable. They aren't fixed anymore. You can't fix them. You can't do it. They're locked in. They're so locked in that God says there's only one way. To let it crash. Let it fail. 2 Kings chapter 21. Here's Manasseh. Manasseh, I'm going to go. Here's, follow if you would, the map up here. Here's Hezekiah the king in Judah. Here's Hezekiah the king. And we're going to, here's the 10 tribes are up there, captivity. So here's the Hezekiah. We're going to slide along. And Hezekiah has a son named Manasseh. Got that so far? Hezekiah's a good guy. A good guy. He seeks to build everything and restore the worship and the priesthood and get rid of some of the high places and idolatry. He does all of those wonderful things. Now, so here comes his son Manasseh. Chapter 21, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. That's a long time. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that, verse 2, which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen nations, whom the Lord hath cast out before the children of Israel. So here he is, here's Manasseh, and Manasseh is there, he's going to be a king for 55 years. Wow, that's a long time to be king. And in the process of that, 55 years, he's a bad king. And he takes away all the wonderful benefits that Hezekiah, his father, put in. And he tears down the good things and puts up bad things. And it's not good. So, but he has that for 55 years. So here's the time going. So here's Manasseh, and he goes down as the corridor of time goes. So now we go from Manasseh. And Manasseh is going to have a son. And his son's name is Josiah. Josiah, over to chapter 22. Chapter 22, and in verse 1. 22 and verse 1. And you'll notice, please, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, and the daughter of Adaiah, and Boscoth. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father. David is the standard for all the kings. Every king is measured by David. David, did they follow David? No matter where they are, did they follow David, or didn't they? In this case, Josiah did. Not Manasseh his father, but David. In the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. So here's Josiah, and Josiah is a good king. And Josiah comes along, and he's going to fix all kinds of things. That's what he's going to do. Over in chapter 23, picking up in verse 25. 23 and 25. And like him, was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to the law of Moses, neither after him arose any like him. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him with. So, Josiah, you did a wonderful job, but you know what? The massive number of people have been so long in under Manasseh, etc., that they aren't there. They really aren't there. Now, hang on to that. They aren't there. There are some, and Jeremiah's king, Josiah's king, so he can fix some things because he's king. But when you fix something, is the rest of the crowd with it? No, they aren't with it. About Josiah, you're the king, so you can pull it off. And he does. And he does. Now, in verse 26. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him with. Verse 27. The Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel. And I will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house which I said my name shall be there. My name's going to be, I'm going to get rid of, the temple's going to go down, Nebuchadnezzar's going to knock it down. Josiah, did you do the right thing as king? He did, but he didn't do it as fully as he might have. But he tried his best from a human standpoint, and he did that. And he's a good guy. But you know, he's going to die. He's going to die, and he did. And was replaced. And when he's replaced, over chapter 23, and chapter 23, picking up if I can, in verse 31. And Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Mutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done, etc., etc. It's going to be evil. And every one of them. Now, all the rest of them, all the way to Zedekiah, all the kings to Zedekiah, they're all bad. There's no good. You understand? Good, Hezekiah. Bad, Manasseh. Good, Josiah. Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, whoops, to Zedekiah. Bad, 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 bad. Now hang on to that. Now, so here we are looking. So always there's a remnant in Josiah's, Hezekiah's day, in Josiah's day, and here's Jeremiah in his own day. So the general population had been exposed to the good, the bad, the good, the bad, 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 and it's just going down. So a commitment. They didn't needed to have a commitment. They needed to have that. And they didn't. So we just got through an election, and here's approximately half of them, populace, because of New York, lots of people. California, lots of people. You know, two or three votes, but lots of people. So you got a populace, lots of people that aren't there. They aren't there. Oh, you got that? They aren't there. They aren't with it. They aren't in the same place. So here we got a direction, we got a leader, a Congress, etc. And we have that. So now, just like in Manasseh and Josiah and all of that, so here we are looking, and so what do we need? What did they need? They needed to have a commitment to the God of Israel. Israel did. Judah, Jerusalem. They are not honoring God. They are not honoring God at all. So it's going downhill. And going downhill, they get harder and harder till you hit Jeremiah, and they're so hard you can't fix them. You can't fix them at all. So here they are going down and down, and they needed to know the law, but the priests were not helping. The prophets were not helping. The kings were not helping. So where are the people going to get anything? The people weren't getting anything. And, Jeremiah, they loved to have it so. That killed them. They loved to have it like it was. And you're dead in the water when you do that. Do you understand? You like it like it is. Then it's unfixable. Now, so here they are, and in the light of that, so what did we need? Well, here's our United States Constitution and Declaration, etc. And one of the things that our founding fathers and thereafter understood what? We needed to have a wonderful, wonderful exposure and an education to the Constitution. We the people, isn't it? We the people. It isn't for two people up there that sit in court or some king power place that know it. No, we're all supposed to know it. We did this at 6 o'clock a while back. We're all supposed to know it. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what we're supposed to know. We're supposed to be educated. American people are educated. When you went to school years ago, didn't you have civics? They still have civics? Civics. I didn't mean physics. I didn't want to say the wrong word. Civics. Government. Do you understand? Government. Why? We're citizens. Little kid growing up. We're citizens. This is what your founding fathers, this is what we do. And this is why you're going to understand A, and B, because you understand, you're going to follow and do it. You'll be part of the system. That's why in the Second World War, we could all line up and go to war without a fuss. Because we're defending the Constitution and the Declaration. True? That's what we did. Without education, nothing. There's no education. Wow. Now in the process, without the education, the absence of education, then you lose all the benefits. The benefits are not going to be understood. And if you don't understand the Constitution, you can't practice the benefits. If you want the benefits, then liberty isn't, old sayings, liberty isn't cheap. It costs you something to keep it. And therefore you pay the price to keep liberty. And you honor liberty. And you honor what we have. And you understand it. And you stand for it. But going from Jeremiah's day way unto where we are now, in the light of that, and ignorance, we don't know. I bet you if you went up and down and asked people at work, at school, explain to me how the Constitution, Declaration, explain how this works, I bet you wouldn't find much. You wouldn't find much. What do you mean, Constitution? Amendments? What's the Bill of Rights? What is that, you see? Wow. Now, so here we are looking. And so ignorance is never going to recover. There's nothing to recover. There's nothing to recover. Now, so here in Josiah, there was a revival in Josiah's day. Jeremiah, there is no revival. There isn't any revival. And thus we're going to continue. So what do we want to understand then? A, when you try to fix things, historically, Jeremiah, Josiah, all the way down the line, when any king tried to come along and fix something, Hezekiah, Jeremiah, Josiah, when you try to fix it, you understand the people need to understand what you're doing. They need to understand the law and God and the tabernacle and the temple and all of these things. And if they don't understand them, all of the benefits that they bring, it won't do you a bit of good at all. So here we are in our own country, modernizing our study in Jeremiah. There are people back then that didn't, back then and now, they don't want to recover anything. They care, approximately 50%, don't care about recovering anything in the Constitution. They don't care about a whole lot of things. They don't care about them, and it doesn't mean a thing, and they don't even need them. Now, what are you going to do with that crowd? They're existing. They're out there. There they are. Wow. They don't care. So, and then you've got a second group, they care. They're all concerned about what's happening, and they know something's wrong. That's what happened in England, didn't it? Over there in England, they had a thing with the European Union and stuff, and they went and voted out and all of that, and it was a big thing for them to do that. Big thing to stand up against all the odds and all the everything of the power structures that devastated them. And they did it. We just did it. We just did it. Wow. Historic. Someone has said, isn't it, help me with this or not. Isn't the Chicago Cubs, weren't they 108 years? Is that what it? 100, isn't 108 or something? It's a lot. It's a lot to play baseball and you waited 100. In fact, you died several times waiting to win, right? Wow. So here we are, we have something that never happened in our country for a long time. I think there's an incident somewhere, I forgot how far back it is, it's way back, when something. But we haven't had that. What is this? Wow. Wow, that's right. Now, the trouble is that the population, doesn't care about what we just did. Even though we were able to do it, Josiah was able to get on the throne. You see? That's good. That's good. God did that. But the people aren't there. They're caught up in Manasseh still back here. So here we are. We are able to swing around and do something. It's a wonderful thing that we just did. A wonderful thing. And God did it. There's no question God helped us in it. And in the process of all of that, in the process, so you have group one, and then you got group two, and group two, they need to know. They want recovery. They're looking. They voted for it. They voted. They want thousands to listen to rallies, to have some. They knew something's not good. It's not good. The business, the Obamacare, all of it. It's not good. It's all bad. That's right. That's right. It is. It's the wrong direction. And it would only be further and further if it went another way. So now, but you know what? Of that great group of people that voted, how many of them understand the Declaration and the Constitution up here in their head and heart and committed to it? They voted. They were looking for something has to be fixed. Do you understand if you don't have an education now of why and what you have, You aren't going to keep it very long. Very long. Because you've got a whole bunch of people that don't care, and then you can't defend what you do care for. You can't defend it. And thus it's going to be difficult. And to say it another way, do you know, as you go down the corridor of time, we have a recovery, a wonderful, wonderful moment. It is a moment in history, for a first moment in history for a long, long, long time. Wow. Wonderful moment in history. Now, in the process, do you remember, going back quickly, remember Genesis 6, days of Noah? Everyone did evil in their own eyes, did that which they wanted to do. And they did that, at least they were doing it, and then God added 120 years, and they did it 120 more years. Did they fix it? Did they ever fix it? Do they have a recovery? No recovery. Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, after Noah and the sons and lots of people again, they're all one language. And God, they're getting worse and worse and worse and worse, like in the days of Noah. And God, you go down and judge them. Are those people scattered all over, all those nations? Are they scattered with an understanding of God and worship and honoring God's word? No, they're not. Is there any recovery? So now, we're going to roll our eyes and with our vision and look at history. What nation recovered apart from this one? Can you think of one? Not the Roman Empire. Where are you going to go? There is no nation. You see? To recover. We're all going the same mood and way. God, you have a program, 120 years for Noah, and you had the days of Moses all the way up to 483 years. And you have the day, and the Lord comes, and then we have the period of grace right now that we're living in, and then the tribulation comes, etc. Now, so God, you've been doing that, so here we are sitting here, and we're one nation, a little blip in the middle of it all, we're being absorbed by the system, which is godless. Getting rid of anything of God, Constitution and Declaration in particular, and then anything else of God, and getting it, religion, etc., getting Bible believers, and getting it all out. So now, God, you put a little stay of execution, and you did that. So here we are. Now, God, we understand what? We have a little blip to exercise some measure of trying to fix some things. Try to slow something. It's all sliding down the hill, but we're trying to slow the slide and try to have a little measure of something in the meanwhile. And God, we're looking for that. Is that going to change where we're headed? Oh, no. No, it isn't. Why? Because you already know where you're headed. Matthew 24, Luke 17, what? As in the days of Noah, eating and drinking, and that's when I'm coming. They're all going to be doing their own thing in a one without God, like in the days of Noah, like in the days of the scattering of the nations. Same. And they're all going to be doing what they're doing. Aha! And you're giving us a little space right now, if we'll take it. How much? To what measure can happen? I don't know. God knows. But you gave it to us. Because that's what they're telling you. That's what you want to do. Fix the Constitution. I mean, you want to hold the Constitution? Fix the courts? I mean, what more? That's good. Super good. You want to fix the economy and get jobs back in a good way? That's a good thing. A good thing. Now, but the days of Noah, they're ahead of us. So if you think you're going to get better and better and gooder, it's not going to happen at all. You just got a little blip, and you're trying to enjoy the moment and exercise it in the right way as you go down the corridor. So God, here we are going down, and God, you know, Jeremiah 15:15, God, you know, and God, that's what we're counting on. And we're going to, with thanksgiving, look to you, and we're encouraged to look to you, to help us to work out every measure of recovery that you want to happen to whatever. Is it going to make people saved? No. But will it give us a little space? I hate to drift. Do you understand when Nineveh, and Jonah went to Nineveh reluctantly and told them to repent or else God's going to clobber you. And then what? They repented. The rascals repented. Jonah didn't want to repent. They should have been judged. But God gave him grace and gave him another 150 years. Did they get saved? Did Nineveh get saved? Did Nineveh become a Christian nation? No. God just gave them a little more time. Wow. So God, what have we got? Here we are. Well, Lord, we're looking for your soon return. And we're looking for that. Well, that doesn't change. We just understand we get a little measure of space. That's all. And it could be, whatever would have happened, if it happens, would have been fast. That's the terribleness of this. It would have been fast. And we would be feeling it. If the Lord tarried, we'd feel all of this. So God gave us a little space. Wow. Over, if you would, please. To Ezra. So I want you to understand courage, but in the same breath, don't get sitting there. Oh boy, everything could be good. No, it isn't. It's going to be one tough job to get anything done because the system's not there to help you. So now, Ezra chapter. You know these things, but. Here they are coming back from the Babylonian captivity, and I just wanted to pick up some lovely little things that help us understand the same thing. Ezra and Nehemiah, you're going to have a few handful of people. You're going to have only a little bit, and you're only going to build a little temple that's nothing like Solomon's temple. In fact, you're going to be ashamed of it in some sense. Now, Ezra chapter 9, picking up, please, directly in the light of the context. God, Jeremiah looking to God in the light of everything. Verse 8, 9:8 of Ezra. And now for a little space, God, just a moment of time, grace hath been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, to give us a nail in his holy place to hang in there rightly, temple, that our God may lighten your eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. God, it isn't heaven. We aren't there. The world isn't in super shape. Our society isn't in super shape. But hey, here we are trying to handle our humanness, our defectiveness. We'll do it Sunday. Everything's defective. Everything's defective. There's nothing perfect. So we need to know that. There's nothing perfect. We're trying to find things to make them, and there's nothing perfect. So we got to... Anyway, hang on. Verse 9. For we are bondmen. We were bondmen, yet with our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but God hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, to repair the desolations thereof, to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. So God, you give us a little space. That's right, just a little space, God. And we're so happy to have that little space. And it doesn't mean we're happy, we deserve anything. Nope, not at all. Verse 15. O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, and we remain yet escaped. As it is this day, behold, we are before thee, in our trespasses, and then we cannot stand before thee because of our sins. And then, of course, chapter 10, they fix everything. They try to fix it all as a people. Over to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, a little bit of revival, not a lot, because what's going to happen after Ezra and Nehemiah? Malachi, going downhill, cursed. That's how God ends the Old Testament. Cursed, curse. And so you're going downhill. It doesn't stop. All the way to the Calvary's cross. It doesn't stop. They crucify him. That's not good. That's bad from a human sense. We shouldn't have crucified him in that sense. Because we said, we have no king but Caesar. That was our problem. Now, so here's Nehemiah chapter 9. And in Nehemiah chapter 9, quickly again, in the light of all the context, read it at your leisure. Verse 31. Nevertheless, for thy great name's mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them back then, nor forsake them. For thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great and the mighty and the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, and let not all the trouble seem little before you, that hast come upon us, on our kings and on our princes, on our priests, on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all the people since the day of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, thou art just in all that you've brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. So there's no boasting where we deserve. We don't deserve anything. We're just glad for his mercy and his grace. Wow. Over, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. It's a wonderful time, no matter how you cut the cookie, because we are being exercised, and God is doing what he does, and he's going to do what he does, and we'll see what happens. Wow. And we'll try to be an encouragement to our own heart. 2 Timothy chapter 3. As you know, verse 1. This know, what are you going to say to us, Paul, before you die? This know also in the last times, wonderful times will come, and great, great opportunities and privileges will be there, and it'll be wonderful. Is that what it says? It doesn't say that at all. No, God never said that either. He said, what are you looking for? I'm already telling you, upper room. I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm really telling you so you don't get discouraged. Wow. So chapter 3, verse 1, this know also in the last days, perilous, dangerous, difficult times shall come. They're going to come. Absolutely. We're in them. Wow. And over, if you would, chapter 4. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, be turned unto fables. And that's where we've been there a long time. Been there. Why do you think all those churches and all that ecumenism and all that liberalism and all those different theologies, where'd that all come from? Wow. It's because, God, we forgot you. And remember now, I can't even do that. Over in chapter 4, picking up in thought, if I can, in verse 7. I have fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. So Paul, you're going to finish. I'm going to finish. Was everything okie-dokie when you left? When you died? No, Nero's doing what he's doing. It's bad news. And you guys are going to live in the bad news. But be of good cheer. I did my part all the way. They're going to take Nero's going to kill me. But verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me, for my finish, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also. We're waiting, that love is appearing. So God, that's what we're waiting for. So God, we understand, we aren't looking for, oh, it's going to be wonderful, my retirement's going to be so good, going to get into the retirement and have the benefits. I've saved up and I'm going to play golf with the guy that plays golf all the time. And going to do all these things. Wow. Wow. Yay. No. No. Nope. Nope. God, we're looking. We're looking for your soon appearing. That's what we're looking for. And in closing, over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, I should say. 2 Timothy in chapter 1. Picking up if I can, as you know, we were there the other day, verse 12. For this cause I also suffer, said Paul. Remember, he's just going to go. He's just telling you to be encouraged. Be encouraged. Things aren't going to get any better. They're going to get wonderfully, wonderfully down until what? Till Jerusalem is clobbered and they're going to end up crucifying Christ. And you know what? They're going to go through the tribulation. And you know what? God's going to do a wonderful thing because they went through all of these hard things. And it took all of these years and all these hard things before Israel as a nation wakes up. And in one 24-hour day, they'll be saved when he comes. Wow. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know, K-N-O-W, know what? I know him. I know whom? I know God. Jeremiah, what are you saying? Lord, thou knowest, you know me, and I know you. And God, I know that you know all that you need to know, all that ever can be known. So I'm going to trust you with all my heart as I proceed hour after hour, day after day. God, you're the only one that's going to do it, because you already know. I am know whom I have believed, verse 12, and am persuaded that he is able to keep to guard that which I've committed, deposited, like in the bank, unto him against that day. So God, here's my, we shared it 5,000 times over the years. God, you have my soul, you have my situation, and you have my society, the world in which I live. God, take me down the corridor of time and get me there. I'm not going to change anything. You are changing me in the process. You're changing me as I go down. That's what it's about. Perhaps you have a particular request. If you would, I'm going to pray. Two or three men lead us to something, and we'll pray. And you may have